Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is January 24th, 2023. This is the Wrestling Inc. podcast, NXT 2.0 edition. I'm Glenn Rubenstein, joined by Alfred Kanawa and NYC Demon Diva Issa tonight to talk about NXT Toxic Attraction breaking up? Question mark. Chase Yu, what's going on there? So much to discuss the ins and outs of WWE's developmental brand, NXT. Welcome to the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Of course, if you enjoy this content, please like, share, subscribe, comment, tell a friend. Explain the podcast you listen to. They'll say it's about what? And they'll say, I don't watch wrestling. And you're like, listen to it anyway. It's very good.
Please.
So, tonight. Before we hop into the action, Alfred, what is going on in the news?
Plenty going on in the news, including good news. It is the beginning of the end of cancel culture as we know it, because Mark Briscoe will be featured on AEW Dynamite tomorrow in a match against ROH great Jay Lethal. They will be honoring the legacy of Mark's brother, legendary Jay Briscoe, who, as we all know, passed away very sadly. And there was a mix-up with Warner Brothers Discovery as recently as today. It was reported early in the morning that Warner Brothers Discovery still does not want Mark Briscoe or Jay Briscoe on their television. But now, because of the recent events, you know, this is, of course, stemming back to the tweet made by Jay Briscoe that was seen as homophobic. They have been banned from Warner Brothers Discovery, but that decision was reversed in honor of Jay Briscoe. It's unfortunately the guy had to die for them to see how stupid such a decision was, but Mark Briscoe will be competing on AEW Dynamite against Jay Lethal. Are you looking to watch that tomorrow, Issa?
Yeah, I think it's going to be very emotional, honestly. I am. I know a lot of people are just going back and forwarding. Is it too late? Is it too little, too late, this or that? Honestly, what I find mind-blowing is Mark Briscoe ready to go and being able to come in here and wrestle a match honoring his brother so soon after the passing. But it would have been Jay Briscoe's birthday, and I think it's going to be emotional. And I'm looking forward to seeing this. And I'm just very, I don't want to say happy, but I think it's good to see Mark being in spirits high enough to go out there and wrestle a match. I do think it's going to be emotional, and I'm looking forward to seeing it.
I think it'll be a high point of wrestling on television this week, which is saying something given everything that's going on in the world of WWE and AEW.
Yeah, and you saw AEW had what many would consider the greatest tribute show in history for Mr. Brodie Lee, which I think is one of the many reasons that people had their expectations high for a possible tribute show to Jay Briscoe. And when that didn't happen, I think that led to a lot of the unrest in terms of Warner Brothers Discovery blocking Jay Briscoe. And this match alone, I think, is going to encapsulate that emotion of the Brodie Lee show in terms of this being the proper send-off of Jay Lethal. And I hate that this stupid thing about tweets and reducing somebody's life and what they are about out to a tweet. I hate that that's even part of the discussion and the narrative of Jay Briscoe's death, but hopefully, and even though this is not what he intended for or what he really should be standing on, hopefully part of Jay Briscoe's legacy is going to be how stupid it is to cancel somebody or to block somebody from existence because of one thing they said or because of their worst moment. I hope through Jay Briscoe's death, we're able to see that when people improve in their lives, when people make a mistake and are able to come back, maybe we should pay attention to that aspect instead of just, this is their worst moment, we're going to define them by that, and even after their death, we're going to fight tooth and nail to keep them from that. And in Warner Brothers Discovery's defense, this is how people act. This is not just them. People do this. Right. Twitter does this. People are doing this. I just thought it was so hilarious, all these people taking issue with Warner Brothers Discovery canceling somebody when it's like, this is our everyday life. This is the world we live in. And hopefully through Jay Briscoe, at least the wrestling community is going to be able to see how stupid that way of life is.
Very, very well said, Alfred. I agree. I did like seeing how many testimonials of the kind of person that Jay Briscoe was came out to lighting this week. I wish people would have spoke up for him sooner, before the tragedy happened, because I do think that we were all in the agreement that it was a mistake that happened a long time ago. But seeing everybody speak so positively about him, I really wish it would have happened before so that this could have been handled prior to this tragedy happening. But sometimes, you know, this is how it goes. I'm just glad to see a change.
Yeah absolutely.
I think it'll be a great match full of great moments tomorrow night. And yeah, it's crazy that this has had to happen for AEW and Warner Brothers. Well, Warner Brothers to reconsider, although I think they've got their hands full with the Adult Swim Rick and Morty news today.
Oh, a lot going on with that. Hopefully that doesn't overshadow anything, but yeah, so it'll be happy 39th birthday for Jay Briscoe, and you know, gone too soon. Of course, WWE celebrated an anniversary of their own with Raw 30, and it was a record-setting occasion.
What a great show it was. It was so
It fun. Was a really fantastic show, I thought, a great honoring. Not everybody thought so, but we're going to get to that soon, too. But WWE Raw 30, record-breaking domestic gate, one of the highest they've ever done. 14,500 really? People paid, it said, which is a huge number for Raw. That's a pay-per-view number. And then also the biggest rating in 3 years with over 2.4 million people tuning in. Of course, this is also a Raw that did not have to go head-to-head with football. Last week, it went head-to-head with a playoff game, did one of its worst numbers ever. But this time, football is not only out of the way, but they're really kind of kicking off WrestleMania season with this big Raw 30 show that did huge numbers. Did you like Raw 30? It sounds like you did, Issa. What was your favorite part?
I mean, the tribal court was incredible. Probably what I would call a perfect segment. I wanted 3 hours of it. I thought they did an excellent job. I was very high up on that metaphor passing of the torch moment between Taker and Bray. I'm a big fan of the way that the Nostalgia and Legends Act were used the right way, which was to like really shine a light on the newer talent today. I will say, I wish they would have not cut the steel cage match. I did think there was other things that could have been cut short to give us the steel cage match. I didn't like it. The beatdown was effective. At least they didn't completely take it off TV, right? But I was looking forward to that match. That was an advertised match. And as the show went on, I kept seeing things that we could have cut just a little bit shorter just to give Becky and Bayley a few minutes to do their crafts. But overall, I got to tell you, I thought that was the best episode of Raw that wow. we've seen in a long time. However, 30 years of history is very hard to squeeze into a three-hour show, especially when the first hour was so heavy. You're not going to make everybody happy. People will find something to complain about, huh?
Absolutely. We'll get to that shortly. But Glenn, your thoughts on Raw 30 or what you've heard about or anything?
I watched the first hour. I was bummed about the steel cage match. Thought the trial was a good segment. Yeah, I mean, it's funny they're doing the poker game again because they did that at Raw 25.
Yeah, a little lazy.
Yeah, that's what I would have cut. I know they
wanted to. What if they just like playing poker?
I know, and I know it's an easy way to feature a lot of legends in a segment. I get it. But no, I thought it was entertaining. But yeah, the steel cage thing, it just seems, once again, look at NXT and the amount of time that women get on that show, and then even compared to SmackDown, but compared to SmackDown to Raw, and it just felt like last night, like they just did not care. And this wasn't, I mean, no disrespect to any women in lower popularity, but I mean, Becky versus Bayley, like that's a big deal, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're not alone in your thoughts, Glenn. I did think Raw 30 was a great episode. I absolutely loved the Tribal Court segment, even on the level, like even when pro wrestling's great, very rarely am I thinking as much as I am watching it, because I think the characters are so fleshed out that I could have seen either way. Like, I didn't know whether or not Solo was gonna attack Sammy because of how much you liked him early, and when he did, I was actually pleasantly surprised at Jey Uso breaking it up. But that shows you how long he's come, because he used to hate Sammy. So there are so many intertwining, deep, like personal, I don't think any wrestling storyline has been this deep in terms of how deep they've dug into the characters as a bloodline. And several,
I love that Jey came to the rescue. I was not expecting it. I love the performance. I know there was a meme, I shared it on my story. There was a meme going around of like best supporting actor goes to Jey Uso when he did the whole speech. And he said, Sammy, you always saw the good in me and I love you 100. And I was like, he really loves him. You know, I don't know. I still don't know. The video evidence was superb. Paul Heyman was incredible in this segment. And again, Roman just conveys almost emotion. Every time that he raises his voice, he like really puts everybody into like, oh crap mode. I really, really thought this was well done. Especially for a segment that they might have had to throw together within the last few days, because this was not what they had planned for them for this week.
And do you think part of the reason, I think Jey defending Sammy was powerful, but do you think part of the reason, because Sammy actually said very little, do you think part of the reason why was because they knew that someone, that Roman, everyone would be corpsing if Sammy talked too much during this?
No, Glenn, segment? The reason why Sammy said very little is because he's a traitor. You're not falling for it, are you?
I feel like they've really thought this through, and I think even though this was put together at the last minute, I don't think it seems like a last minute decision to let Jey be the one to save him, because it just shows you, it's them telegraphing how much he's evolved. This guy used to be the number one. Remember, if you remember, the greatest moment of the storyline arguably was when Sami Zayn was anointed the honorary Uso, and the great photo is Sami and everybody celebrating and Jey Uso in the back like this MF-er. But now he's come all the way around, and I think that speaks to the storyline itself.
Well, we'll see what happens Saturday at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, and really, my favorite part of this segment was when a couple of you in the chat have heard it, when Roman Reigns just gets so fed up, he goes, Solo! He just calls one of his goons on Sami Zayn. That was the most gangster thing I've ever seen Roman Reigns.
I know!
He said one of his little N-words on it.
I absolutely loved it. I was like...
That's great for Solo, too, because it's like the tribal chief... Like, what's the most dangerous thing I could do to Sami Zayn? I'm going to get this guy. Like, that was great for putting over Solo Sikoa, too. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
It's a good segment. Not everybody, as we've been saying, thought it was really cool. To Glenn's point about the women representation, the Bella Twins took to IG Live almost immediately after Raw 30. Very interesting, because the Bellas were supposed to be featured on Raw 30, and they were not part of the show. It is under the impression that they saw what they were supposed to do, probably playing poker, and they did not want to do it. And then they lashed out at WWE, not having time to show Sasha Banks, Saraya, who is known as Paige, saying the Bellas were not featured.
Just mentioning that they did show them in the video, but you know.
Yes, there was a reshowing of them. But the main point is that women were not, and it is a good point, because when you look back at the episode, yes, it was a great episode. Yes, WWE does have a women's evolution, and women are doing great in wrestling right now, but this particular episode, honoring the history of Raw, did not do a great job honoring the history of women's wrestling.
It didn't do a good job about honoring the Bellas.
Yes, and especially the Bellas. There might be heat there because, you know, Nikki Bella has come out in the past. I believe SummerSlam, when Bianca Belair got buried in like 30 seconds, she had some very strong words against that too.
Right.
And the same thing here too.
When it's not about her, she always comes and says something. Yeah, we know.
And don't they have another season of their show coming up?
Yeah, on Thursday.
Nikki Bella does have her
show. We gotta be relevant, you know? Yeah, we know. Yeah. We know the game. We know the game. They know how to play it. Props to the Bellas.
So it sounds like you said you don't really think there's credence to the idea of WWE being, you know, not really showing the women in the best light on Raw in terms of what the Bellas said.
I think that I personally, and this is just my opinion, thought that seeing a segment between Bianca and Charlotte, I loved it. That's the one horsewoman Bianca hasn't beaten. I'm very high on Bianca right now. And I personally thought that it was great. And you had the Alexa Bliss segment, which pushed a story up for a match on Saturday. So I can see why you would cut Bayley and Becky, who are probably going to win the Rumble and don't really have a match going into Saturday, and not cut this. I like seeing Charlotte and Bianca, two of the best to be doing it today, have that face-off. We know Bianca wants a dub over Charlotte. So I like seeing Medusa, and she had the women's championship backstage. It's live television. It's 30 years of weekly 3 hours of history. You're not going to get to everybody. There was a lot of men that have made a lot of history that were not mentioned or shown either. But you know who wasn't shown, not even in the video packages? The Bellas. So what are you salty about, really?
Sometimes the more WWE leans on its past with things like this, it just kind of, it's weird because it's an ongoing thing, right? Like, they're still putting out new programming. And I don't know, I think it shows how much some of that stuff hasn't aged well, or how some people, like, their shtick, I don't want to say they have an age well, but their shtick hasn't aged well. I don't know. I mean, it's okay. You know, I guess 5 more years, so we got to do another one of these.
And we also got to think about the fact that, of course, the Royal Rumble, how they booked these two matches might speak to how little the women are being emphasized, as 15 men have been featured and advertised for the Royal Rumble, whereas 7 women out of 30 have been advertised. But at the same time, between all these surprise returns of the Triple H era, we had a lot of surprises last night. They got to save something for the Royal Rumble, and I'm guessing that they just decided for the women, we're just going to save all the big surprises we'd have for the women. Instead of Raw, we'll put them on the Royal Rumble. And if you watch the show, they definitely did run long, because they literally went off the air while Corey Graves was in the middle of a sentence. They had to rush off the air. And so this show did go long, and unfortunately the women are in that group that gets affected when things like this happen.
Was a lot of commercial breaks towards hour 2 and 3, with the first hour being commercial free. I don't know, I just didn't think much of it until then I saw everybody tweeting it afterwards, and I was like, I'm not bothered by what was said or the way that things were represented. I was a big fan. As soon as Bianca interrupted Charlotte, I popped huge, because I want to see that match. And I thought that was like, there's not a lot of history between the way the women's were booked back in the day, we're talking history, to how they're booked now. So it's very hard to see somebody like, what are you gonna do, have Kelly try to talk to Bianca Belair about wrestling? No. You know what I mean?
So I would like to hear that conversation. But pardon me, it's only about a year and a half till we have to do this again, because this was, you know, Raw, there's been 1500 and change episodes, so when we get to Raw 2000, it won't be 5 years, it'll be about a year and a half, and they'll do this again.
We can get a segment where Ivory asked Bianca Belair if she could touch her hair. That'll be incredible. And then also a shout out to Ahmed Johnson, who's not featured on the Raw 30. And I thought that he was snubbed as well.
I will say one thing. I'm sorry. I have to say it. When the show opened and the first music that we heard, I was like, oh, it's only downhill from here. So I'm glad. I'm glad we recovered well.
Sheed Black, Buck 99, saying Raw was great last night.
I agree. I enjoyed it. It did not feel like a 3 hour show. I think the commercial free first hour helped, but that segment was really great too. So I was into all of it.
Sheed Black, I believe, also saying life is MF.
Yeah. It's not PG award.
We'll be watching AEW tomorrow, as always. I think AEW is going to do, they're going to turn out their fans tomorrow. And then Mia Lee, 499, saying, I must say, I'm really loving Kiana. She got something, and Tiffany looked flawless. I could see her and Saul main event to take over for the title one day. Poor Nikita.
Talk about that.
Yes. What else is going on in the news?
Oh, that is the news. But, you know, you got to get vaccinated or your ankle will start acting up. So remember that, kids.
What did Undertaker say to Bray Wyatt last night?
He told him to vote for Ron DeSantis. He was laying out his whole platform and just trying to convince him, just trying to get some converters.
So, let's talk about NXT. NXT, NXT. What is going on with NXT? Tonight, we opened with Indy Hartwell versus Tiffany Stratton.
I thought Tiffany looked so good in this match. Really, really liked her. The look, the moves, her finisher was incredible. I thought Indy was great too, but this was definitely a Tiffany Stratton showcase, and she showed up. I really, really liked it.
If Indy's not getting a call up to the main roster, like, this is the stage of her NXT career right now.
Well, I don't know. They managed to do a good job with making me interested in this Carmelo Hayes and Apollo match going into the next premium live event. But Indy and Carmelo have reached that territory where it's like, what else is there to do? Just call them up. I wouldn't be surprised if we see either one of them show up at the Rumble.
Yeah. They've lost... And maybe it's that the main roster is so full, but I mean, think about 5 years ago, 4 years ago, like it's been this trajectory. I think if you were watching around TakeOver Brooklyn and everything that happened after that, people were getting called up at the absolute right time. And then that time has gotten longer and longer in recent years, where it's like you stay in NXT where they have nothing for you. Until you get that, and it's getting to the point where it's becoming very obvious and it's hurting talent. Cameron Grimes is a great example of this. I think Indy is a great example of this. Like, yeah, if you don't get that call up, you're just going to wither, which is unfortunate, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. That like kind of purgatory period between them leaving NXT and coming to the main roster. Yeah, it really does seem longer. And for some people, we don't even know whether that's purgatory or whether or not maybe WWE just decided against them being on the main roster, because we have seen some people return to NXT. So yeah, it's been a while for a couple of people, but you know, I felt the same way. Indy Hartwell is in a weird place to where it's like, yeah, I agree that she's been in NXT for so long that she probably should be in the main roster, but it doesn't seem like there are any imminent. It seems like both NXT and the main roster don't know what to do with it.
Well, you know, if not the Rumble Mania season, maybe we will go back to the post-Mania debuts this year. But part of it too, though, is because if you think about momentum, there's been a lot of people that when they had the momentum, they didn't get called up. You know, so it's like Tiffany Strand's back. They've got plans for her. But yeah, I think Wendy Chu is entering a later phase of her NXT career if she doesn't get the call up soon. You know, they, for whatever reasons, they've never really ran with Nikita fully. I mean, I don't know, but the women get a great amount of time on NXT. I cannot put enough.
I call it ladies' nights on Tuesday because they really do showcase them.
They're still the most exciting thing on the show. So, Tiffany Stratton won this match. We'll see what's next for her. Then we had an interview with JC Jane, and she was talking some smack about Gigi Dolin, Toxic Attraction. Maybe, you know, it's a toxic relationship now and they're not getting along.
Sure. Yeah.
It seemed very abrupt. And my first thought, I was talking to my wife, I'm like, what did I miss?
Same. I was like, did I miss one of those Twitter videos or something? Because when did they get mad at each other?
Yeah, I immediately just started thinking, wait, how did last week end? Did I miss like a turn or something like that? And then when I realized, like, oh, okay, they're just doing the heel thing because both of them were so over the top with it that it's like, oh, I know where this is going. And it really did make Roxanne look like a very smart baby face at the end.
Yeah. Speaking of things on social media, I forgot to mention because they open with this. If you were wondering if that tweet yesterday or whatever from the Performance Center was a work, tonight gave you your answer with Grayson and Braun.
People thought this was real on social media. I was like, are you kidding me?
And listen, I saw a lot of people who are very well connected in this business who should know better, who did not know better.
What?
they did a good job making this look, but eventually it's like, oh, okay, you can kind of see that this was produced, but a lot of people thought this was real.
Here's when I thought it was real.
Did you see the Grayson Waller apology on Instagram?
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
My God, he's so good. Grayson Waller. Yeah, you have to. So good. Sorry,
it was cool how they did this, though. Shouts to WWE for at least going out of their way to try to make this look real, because what they did is they had this lady kind of record her like video diary about what's going on.
She was live.
Exactly. And then she made it seem like, oh my God, what's going on here? So it was a really well thought out way to make it look real. But I've just seen so many WWE brawls that you knew that, like, I just knew looking at it, oh, okay, so it's a work. But they did a great job making it look like
as soon as she started yelling, hey, yo, chill. It's not real.
Hey, fam.
Here's when I knew it wasn't real. When I realized it was Grayson Waller and Braun Breaker. I thought originally when I first saw it, I was like, I thought it was just two people that got in a fight in the Performance Center. And my first thought was like, oh, they should use this for an angle. You know? lo and behold. But yeah, it's crazy how when you watch what they cut together tonight, and this was very good. It's a shame more people don't watch NXT because it's actually probably one of the better things WWE has produced, in that they made it like the end of what's the movie? I'm blanking this. The They made it like one of those found footage movies where they started cutting between everybody's social media showing the fight. That was very well done.
Yeah.
It was very well done.
It's incredible that we had that many angles and that many POVs of this fight backstage at the performance centers, yet no video of the CM Punk and the Elite fight. It's a shame. and the best part is like everybody in AEW vlogs. How have we not seen any footage of that? But this magically everybody was recording at the time. You know?
Yeah, you think at least Sammy Guevara would have
right.
Footage of that. You know what I mean? He doesn't vlog every week.
The Elite
built this company.
Sometimes being the Elite gets more views than freaking Dynamite itself, and they don't have any footage.
It's a shame because if Raw or SmackDown did something like this, or if AEW did something like this, everyone would be talking about it. But this opening tonight was really, really good. And the earlier point, it is kind of brilliant how they did this yesterday, how they had the one video go out. And that's the thing. It seemed so random. Again, before I knew who was involved in it, I was like, this looks kind of like any other scuffle I've ever seen. But yeah, as soon as you knew it was Grayson and Braun, it was like...
Go ahead, Alfred.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead, Isa.
No, I was just going to say I fell for it because I saw it being tweeted by normal wrestling news websites. And then I started watching. I watched the video, and then once it got to who it was, I was like, really, guys? Really?
This is something I think we would never see under Vince McMahon. This is the biggest difference, I think, in the Triple H era is that use of connecting with social media. Because they did something similar with Matt Riddle and Seth Rollins when they got in a fight and they had that overhead shot. And I don't think they posted anything from WWE's actual cameras. They just relied on fan footage and they retweeted that to make it. And obviously, it's not real given who's in the fight. But doing stuff like that, I think, is really cool in at least allowing me to suspend my disbelief.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt, but did you guys, for 1 second last night during the DX segment, when Triple H says, this booking stuff is really hard. I wish somebody would come out and help me out. Did you not think Vince was coming out? Even the crowd started booing.
Yeah.
I'd never been happier to see Teddy Long in my life.
I didn't even think of it that way, but you're right. Like, that could have led to the return of, like, oh my goodness.
I got to be honest. It was during the DX segment when I was just like, no, this feels too much like Raw 25. I'm done.
I will say, here's a big difference is that, and this is a big difference throughout the show, is that the celebrities and the legends did not overshadow the newer generation.
I know.
DX was selling that Gunther was terrifying, and they admitted, like, we can't beat this guy up. We got to get somebody else to do it. So the legends and celebrities made cameo appearances where they were in the background, which is, I think, how all these shows need to be.
And at no point the legends felt disrespected. Like when Triple H is staring down Gunther, you're like, I kind of want to see it. I didn't think I did, but I did, you know. And then he said, no, I'm retired. We had the same moment with The Undertaker, where I was like, is Undertaker going to choke slam LA Knight and completely bury him ahead of his fight? No, he passed him on to Bray Wyatt.
It was
very well done. But I will say that the X segment is one that I was like, we just saw them reunite a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. They could have cut this down for the ladies. Yes.
DX has never been apart long enough. I mean, half of them work for the company. I mean, there's a DX reunion like weekly during a meeting. It's probably on their calendar. That's probably what they call their production meeting, just DX reunion. You know, it's not special anymore. Like, go away a while. It's like KISS has never stopped touring, you know, since they got the makeup back. It's like, we need to kind of forget you to appreciate you again.
Had they had the foresight to know that there was going to be a Raw 30, which they should have, but had they known that this was going to happen on Raw 30, I don't think they would have done that DX reunion at all.
Yeah. Why? How did they not know there was going to be a Raw 30?
Yeah, they obviously knew, but they didn't put together the pieces that DX would be there. Like, I don't think they even thought about it. And had they thought about, like, we're going to have DX at Raw 30 in a couple months, they really shouldn't have done that, because I thought the same thing going in that. We just saw this, and there was that big controversy of, are the fans going to chant for Daddy Ass? They didn't then. They didn't now. But it would have been nice to see Billy Gunn as part of this DX reunion.
I agree. So Chase, you had an award ceremony for Thea Hale, future NXT Women's Champion Thea Hale tonight. And it was interrupted by JD McDonagh.
Yeah.
Then had a match with Andre Chase and beat him.
Yep. JD is very good in the ring. I like watching him wrestle. Anything else that he does, I do not care. I love Tia Hale throughout the entire episode. Not just here, throughout the entire episode. She just stands out. Her personality is over the top, and I love it. But yeah, JD is somebody that I really don't care, but every time he wrestles, he captivates me. He's very good in the ring.
Yeah, I think this could have done without him. I was enjoying this so much before he came that I was hoping, even by the end, I was hoping this whole thing would be about the graduation. I think Thea Hale, if I was to draft any of these women and like put stock in them, Thea Hale would probably be at the top of the list because she's got that personality. She's got the facials and the wrestling will come. She's like a super athlete, shouts to the NIL. And I thought she played her part perfectly. I think they completely understand what they have in Thea Hale in terms of making her like this short size, kind of like a Bam Bam character from the Flintstones, where she's this little, like, super powerful person, but her personality is really what's gonna win her, everybody over. And I just watched the segment like I've done since she's debuted and thought, wow, Thea Hale is gonna be a big deal when she gets on the main roster.
Yeah,
I mean, given the lack of graduation from NXT, I mean, honestly, they should just turn NXT Level Up into a women's wrestling show, and have storylines. It should be like Glow was, and just have storylines that keep going. It's not about championships, it's just about what's going on there. I think it would be very compelling TV. And I think we need to kind of, I know NXT is supposed to be back to developmental, but that would be an interesting way to spin off the idea of how can we do something with all this talent, maybe bring in women from the main roster, and not have it feel like, oh, you either, you know, move upward or you get cut, you know.
I agree. That would be a good idea. A lot of these secondary shows and even like, you know, like Main Event or Level Up, I think they should be taking these risks, like how you said. Because sometimes NXT, even nights like tonight, came off like part sitcom, part wrestling show, where there's a lot of vignettes on location and backstage vignettes. And if they just took that element and made it like half the show was them doing stuff backstage to build up to what happened to the show, I think that'd be very interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot you could do with it. Well, then we had Fallon Henley and Kiana James versus Ivy Nile and Tatum Paxley. Alfred, what'd you think of this?
I thought it was good. I'm still not clear on how James became a babyface. Like, I know she had a crush on the Virgin and whatnot, but they didn't really do a good job explaining, like, why is she babyface now? She lost the farm. How come she's not trying to launch another dastardly plan? But it looks like they're just kind of forcing her and Fallon Henley together. And it's really weird. Is it Fallon Henley or Tatum Paxley? Fallon Henley, right?
Yeah.
Fallon Henley, yeah. Okay.
So Fallon and Kiana won. Issa, do you think this is a long game by Kiana to get Fallon's bar?
No, she's just trying to take this kid's B card.
Ah! I hope it's a long play to get the... Because they just dropped that storyline cold, and... This would be a good way of bringing it back, but it really was random how she just all of a sudden...
And the plot twist, it'll happen at the bar.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Nice segment backstage, New Day, Idris No Fame, Malik Blade, but then they were interrupted by Schism. And that's what we all thought of that segment.
Nobody wants to interrupt this segment.
Tag Team Invitational next week.
I love the New Day and everything, but they're heels in this promotion. I have not really liked the booking of the New Day since they got... I love the big pop they got at first. I love that they won the tag titles, but the New Day characters in NXT are just heels who are stringing everybody along.
Issa, what did you think of Apollo in the barbershop with Carmelo and saying he's not done chasing the NXT championship? He's got more to journal about.
Why was the barber touching up his hair when he was clearly shaving instead of touching up his beard? Thought it was great. I thought it was great. This is the best Apollo has looked. He's not very good at fishing. At the diner, he comes off soft. Here, he was cool, collected. I like the interaction. I like this segment.
Yeah, well, I always love these barbershop segments. And, you know, he was getting a nice shine on his bald head. It's funny because in the barbershop, it's always the bald guys who talk the most. You just come in there. They don't really get anything cut or shaved. They just sit there and they talk the most, even though they have no hair.
Because that's therapy. That's therapy, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So what's next for Apollo, in your opinion, Alfred?
Well, I think it's weird. I don't like when they book like this. WWE, I think AEW's done this too, where it's like each guy's won once, so we're going to have a 2 out of 3 falls match. No, you need one more match. You need a third match because ideally the two out of three falls, each of the guys are going to get a fall. So we've already wasted our time there. So why not just have one more rubber match? And so I think it's going to be a great two out of three falls. I hope, I mean, I'm pretty sure that Apollo Crews is going to lose this match and Carmelo Hayes is going to win, but maybe Apollo goes over and this is the way they send off Carmelo Hayes. But
that's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking. So I have a feeling Carmelo's staying. And if he's staying, he's got to move into some kind of title picture. So as long as Carmelo Hayes goes into the main roster, I can see Apollo being the one that goes over here.
Yeah.
Well, after this, we had Creed versus Gulak and Walker.
Wanker.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Wank Hawker. This was a good match. I mean, but Creed won, and then it really set up the confrontation with Linda Shear afterwards.
Yeah, Ivy's turning heel for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Gigi Dolin talks back about JC.
Foreshadowing.
Very much so. Both of these women can't stand each other to this point.
They weren't really that mean, which right. is funny because it's like here are the mean girls of NXT. They were in a duo called Toxic Attraction. And
it was a fake out, Glenn. They can't be that mean.
But that's why I wasn't believing.
Imagine that would be like if I say, "Hey Glenn, let's run an angle and you be really mean to me in the podcast and you take it really seriously and you say things that end up really breaking our friendship." You know, you gotta watch it.
Yeah, if she wanted to be convincing in terms of being mean, she should have really gone in and been like, "That's why Darby Allin left your ass" or something Jesus. Like that. Otherwise, I'm not gonna buy it.
Damn.
Alexa Lopez took on Wendy Chu and got
the win. She cheated. She used the brass knucks.
Are we still doing anything with Wendy Chu, or is she going back to being this character? Because they were teasing that she was going to do something else.
She's not doing anything else.
Just annoying me on the weekly.
Jeez.
Valentina Ferraz.
The brass knuckles.
Slow heel turn.
When are we getting Elektra and Tony D'Angelo?
Yeah.
Tony was great tonight.
Yeah, they were at an Italian restaurant. They had the back room. Tony and Stax. Tony's the Don. Stax is the underboss.
Underboss.
And I believe there's only two of them in the crime family. So, you know, got to get some more people.
Yeah, they didn't even have to pay for their meal. That's how you know.
The goat did look great too. That white blazer with the piping.
Yeah.
I usually don't like piping, but on Tony D'Angelo, impeccable. Mm.
Honestly, anything that he puts on looks great on him.
Yeah.
It's this still blows my mind that they haven't done more with him.
Me too. Well, he's healthy now.
He got injured.
But he's healthy now. There's no more excuses. I think he's been healthy for a month now.
I know.
I would trade Braun Breaker's entire championship run for Tony D'Angelo.
Oh, I'm with you. Me too.
It's coming.
Me too.
He'll win it eventually. I don't know if I would trade it too. It hasn't been much of a run. I think Bron Breakker is going to be a big star, but this run hasn't been much of a run.
Well, speaking of Braun, Stevie Turner joined Mitch on. Stevie Turner should have been the one streaming the brawl.
Since yes. That's her gimmick.
She can't stream the brawl. She's never on set. She's always sitting in her living room streaming.
That's right.
Well, she couldn't even show up.
Yeah.
But Grayson Waller called out Bron Breakker. And this occurred to me after we talked about it with Cody last night. Like, seriously, here's a trend. This shows how WWE doesn't pay attention to any trend whatsoever. Because, again, why wasn't Grayson calling Bron Breakker a Nepo baby? Like, this is just low-hanging fruit. This is so simple. So yeah. Simple to do this. But he called out Braun. I mean, look, just thank God this match is coming up soon. Because I need Grayson Waller to become champion.
Me too.
Yeah, he should be the favorite, especially because I see Bron Breakker moving on. I see him at the top of the list in terms of somebody they want to call up. And I think it'd be really cool to see Grayson Waller as a heel champion. We haven't really gotten that in NXT, the heel world champion. I feel like Carmelo Hayes is the closest we've gotten when he had the North American title. But like a really long heel world title run, I think Grayson Waller is going to kill it.
Me too. I did like the spear through the barricade. I thought the sound sounded pretty good.
That was crazy.
Yeah, great. But it's just like another week of Grayson Waller outsmarting Bron Breakker. Yeah.
It also reminded me, and I'm sure they gimmicked it this way. It looked like the Bugs Bunny cartoon, or you know, like where he jumps through the wall. And there's an imprint through the wall. That's what it looked like.
Like when he paints it and then funny. He puts it on there.
And he runs through it, and then just you know, there's the silhouette.
Well, now that you bring this up, he said that. Bron Breakker keeps getting outsmarted. I mean, as a babyface, you would think that if he gets outsmarted next week, then the plan is Bron Breakker wins by outsmarting Grayson Waller. Because it would be weird if the babyface got outsmarted all the way leading up to the match, and then the heel outsmarted the babyface again.
Can't. I do not expect a Bron Breakker can outsmart anybody. Like, his gimmick is I'm a big, strong guy, and I'm going to kick your butt. It's not like I'm going to outsmart you. That's not the vibes I get from him.
He can outsmart his uncle.
Dylan Matthews saying that cardboard barricade had a family, damn it. Sheed Blacks, $9.99. Thank you, Sheed. NXT was actually entertaining tonight. I have a hard time following the show. The storylines are terrible or non-existent.
Amen.
I think there's just a lot of them to follow, and they're not always good. And a couple of them are okay, but yeah, they can get a little bit overdone.
Sometimes they have too much continuity with the worst storylines.
Yeah.
That's my biggest NXT critique. They're putting
that's a great observation. They keep the storylines that don't need to keep going. Those are the ones that, yeah.
Like I'm sorry, like Isle Dawn and Alba Fire. I thought this was done. I thought we were past this.
I actually expected Isle Dawn to be the person who me held too. The tag team, but I mean she came in at the end, but it was still
me too.
Yeah. So we did have Caden Carter and Katana Chance. It was going to be 2-on-1 against Alba Fire, but Sol Ruka. Rising star in NXT with a finisher that's phenomenal if you don't think about the logic behind it, showed up to try and help Alba, and they lost.
Yep.
And Isla Dawn was there after. But you walked to the back with Alba, so maybe they are teaming up.
Yeah, I think they're definitely teaming up. And I have no problem with that because of they're both these supernatural dark characters. I did like some of the athletic displays from Sol Ruka. She had that big splash spot where she just floated through midair. This is a phenomenal athlete. Shout out to the NIL. And I really hope she shows up in the Royal Rumble. I think she, if whatever they have planned, whatever crazy idea they would have planned for her, like if she is a very phenomenal athlete. And I think she can pull it off.
G-Roy J saying Braun's gimmick is Wreck-It Ralph.
It is. You know, that's not necessarily bad either. I loved Wreck-It Ralph.
That's funny.
One of my favorite Pixar movies. Is it Pixar or is that?
I know it was Disney proper. No, it was Disney. Killer of Demons 669 says Braun more like Yawn.
Okay, you guys keep talking that stuff. I'm telling you, he's going to be a top star. It's in the stars. There's nothing you guys can do about it.
That what? He's going to go to the main roster and maybe one day become U.S. champion?
Yes, he'll be a double champion, U.S. champion and world champion.
Okay. Oh, man. Glenn's thinking like me now. What's
I'm on the Bron Breakker chair. I'm early on this train. I'm by myself. But when everybody's singing his praises by WrestleMania 45, I'll be like, yeah, no, I'll say that the whole time. And he'll be Rex Steiner by then. Maybe that'll help.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
So, Dijak and Wesley met up. Fallon, Henley, and Kiana
James.
Great
promo by Wesley.
That was good. It was good. They're going to have a match at Vengeance Day. And so will Fallon, Henley, and Kiana James challenging Chance and Carter for the NXT Women's Tag Team Championships at Vengeance Day.
Yeah, because they're BFS now.
Yeah, I love Fallon, Henley was like furious. Like, how dare you make this decision without me to challenge for these titles? And then like literally 10 minutes later, she's like, okay, I thought about it and we're going to challenge for the titles.
Cora Jay was talking to Mackenzie Mitchell about her issues with Lyra Valkyra. I know we're all thinking about that. We're all wondering, does Cora have growing issues with Lyra Valkyra? But then something happened in the NXT parking lot, the most dangerous parking lot in all of sports.
Did you not fear the worst when they say, Mackenzie, something is happening in the parking lot? Because I was like, uh-oh, it's over.
Yes. I was very fearful.
But Nikita Lyons, a car... ran over Nikita Lyons' knee.
Glenn, how are you feeling about this? I need to know.
Just what the fuck, okay. Man? Like, and that's the thing. I need to know that Nikita's okay. Like, not physically. I mean, just mentally, from the way that NXT is this push pull start stop, this run that was underway and then never really happened. Beyond that, I don't understand. I don't understand. Makes no sense to me.
If you look back to when she was supposed to go to Canada, she couldn't go to Canada.
They're protecting people from. Well, I thought they were just protecting us from having to see her try to wrestle.
Jesus, Issa. I like Nikita. I like Nikita. I have no problem with it. I just think that her decisions behind the
scenes. I don't know. I think she's good. I think she has a presence. Yeah.
But they weren't going to win that tournament. That tournament was neither here nor there. That tournament, they were going to do a one-off appearance on SmackDown that had nothing to do with NXT.
Right, but it might have opened a can of worms. Like, well, if we're going to make her the world champion, she's going to need to go around the world, and you can't go around the world if you haven't been vaccinated.
NXT never goes around
the world. They don't get out of Florida.
You're absolutely right. I'm not speaking for me. It's not WWE thinks. She's a world champion.
Yeah.
She can be the world champion of Jacksonville, Florida. She can be the world champion of Clearwater.
If she's got some, you know, issues with the vax, that would should make her more over in Florida. I mean, Joe Gacy should be cutting promos about, you know, protect yourself and your loved ones, you know, and be out there if they really want Joe to get heat in Florida, you know?
The anti-vax world champion would slap. Okay. Regardless of what you literally think about it, if the heel was like an anti-vaxxer in Florida, I'm here for that.
And I say this because I was curious what the issue was, and I looked into it. I mean, people know my beliefs and my thoughts on it. Best I could tell, she didn't disclose that she was against anything, but for a medical reason, she did not get it. It's not like she's one of these people that's out there spreading the rhetoric or rumors or things like that. I don't know. I mean, in my mind, there's a difference.
There's absolutely a difference, and because of how tribal the world is, a lot of people get thrown into a box because they're anti-vaxxers, so you just think of them in one light. But I've seen a lot of athletes who don't believe in getting vaccinated because their bodies are their temple, and they're cognizant of every little drop that goes into their bodies. And if they're a little skittish about it, they don't want – Kyrie Irving is an example. There's a lot of athletes who do not want needles in their bodies for their own reasons, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a political thing.
That's a little weird too, because it's kind of like the iPhone hypocrisy. You take whatever stand you want, but we're all using these devices made by slave labor in China. Yes. Like, so don't give me this, like, I measure every single molecule and chemical that goes in my body. It's like, no, you don't. You're like, and I guarantee you anybody who says that, there is like, you could find somewhere off in a dark corner, they're vaping or they're doing, I'm not saying this about Nikita. I'm just saying that there is always, people always have the dumbest exceptions to these things. In fact, the more you tout that I never do X, Y, and Z, and you live your life by this rule, I guarantee you, the more you tout it, the dumber the hypocrisy is 100%. Of what it is.
Just look at Bill Cosby. He was touting a lot of things.
Yeah. Anyhow,
shout out to Cliff Huxtable, though. Cliff Huxtable was a good man.
I mean, that we know of. I don't trust anyone anymore. You know. Oh, it's tough. I'm glad Night Court's back. Night Court.
Yeah, it's doing good numbers too. I'm glad to see that it's. I've always loved the theme song for Night Court, but I haven't necessarily gotten into the show. But I've been watching the new Night Court. You know, it's not that bad. I'll say that. I kind
of
like it.
Like biggest debut of a new series this season. It's pulling in like Friends numbers by today's standards. Huge numbers.
It's doing better than they could have ever imagined.
It's insane. Because I mean, I feel like that was never a huge show back in the day.
Yeah, in its day, like I don't think it was ever number one or anything like that. No. It's just like a show that was on, and now it's like the biggest
for nine
show.
Years. Yeah. So
Night Court is the Sting of entertainment, in that like Sting was never like the guy and whatnot, but now he's like this huge legend with some time to look back.
Yes. Yes. Take that, John Larroquette. You're the Sting. Do you know John Larroquette won so many Emmys in the 80s for Best Supporting Actor on Night Court? He finally said, stop nominating me. We need to give other people a chance.
Wow. Yeah. That's a flex.
Crazy. So what happened? But yes, Nikita was taken to a local medical facility. Hopefully she'll be back in the ring soon. I'm assuming it was Zoe Stark that did this.
I could see it for sure.
It was so I think it was Tony D'Angelo because we've seen him drive one before.
Oh, you said a Mercedes.
Yeah.
Don't get those rumors started. I know somebody who's a Mercedes.
Wouldn't that be amazing if she came back to NXT?
I'm talking about the car. Everybody needs to relax.
Come back to NXT and just be, this was the happiest I was ever in my professional wrestling career. This is where I want to stay.
Yeah, that's not how it's going to go.
I could see Mercedes Moné or Sasha Banks pitching that she comes back to NXT. And I would love, just like AEW false advertised, NXT needs to lean into it. And like Nikita Lyons should be like, oh, I got hit by a Mercedes. She probably did it for money. You know, just to make you think that maybe she's going to show up.
I still think it was Tony D'Angelo.
Why? Why though?
To protect us.
Jesus.
So we had the championship summit at the end. Roxanne Perez, Gigi Dolan, and JC Jane coming face-to-face ahead of their NXT Women's Championship match at Vengeance Day. And Roxanne was just sitting there, you know, practically had popcorn out as Gigi and JC were just going back and forth, tearing into one another. But wouldn't you know it, it was all an elaborate ruse, and they started beating down Roxanne Perez. And the show ended with them together, reunited, and it felt so good as they held up that NXT Women's Championship.
Did you notice that when they were brawling, Booker T was like, wait, wait, I got one more question.
Yeah!
I was like, Booker, get out of the ring, bro.
He's got to get his shit in, man.
I will say, during the part in which we were getting faked out by Toxic Attraction, I love the reactions in the background from Booker T and Roxanne. They were doing a good job at just, like you said, popcorn, enjoying it, like let them go at it. But it doesn't make Roxanne look very smart in this situation. But I thought it was a fun segment.
Yeah, I like that they did this for the whole show and they committed to a show-long segment of them kind of splitting up or whatnot, but then the heels came together. And you know in the match they're going to have their problems too, but right. I mean, this is something to do, and it was fine. I have no problem with the storyline. It just kind of seemed very obvious, and I think the thing that made Roxanne look so bad is not only did she get tricked by it, but like she clearly believed it, the character, where she was saying, oh, this is so great. I'm just enjoying all of this.
Right.
It's kind of a snooty thing. It's not really a babyface thing to say. You kind of want to be like, well, I'm going to just win my title or whatnot. But Roxanne got a little too comfortable there.
Oh, it is. Based on her feud with Cora Jade, where she was just blocking her, you can tell she's that kind of person that likes the confrontation when it's other people. She just doesn't like it when it comes to her. I got that vibe off of her, what we've seen from her.
Yeah. And I love the moment, though, when this ended, when Gigi and JC were in each other's faces and then they just sort of broke and
they just smiled.
Yeah. That was good. That's going to go in the video package. That's a highlight moment, but no, this was a good end of the show.
Wait, I got one more question. I'm kidding.
Roxanne's not losing. Roxanne is not losing that feud. I'd bet money on it. But maybe Toxic Attraction goes to the main event.
Nah.
To the main roster.
Yeah, they've
you're
lost
sending everybody to the main roster. We're gonna leave NXT naked.
Maybe Mandy Rose comes back at the Royal Rumble or whatnot, but like I don't see Toxic Attraction as a tag team doing much of anything on the main roster going up together. If they would have gone with Mandy Rose, it could have really been something in terms of them getting the rub and being together for a while. But I think now they should just definitely double down on NXT and developing them there.
Yeah. Sheed Black is asking the real questions. First saying Night Court was good back in the day. By the way, is Fatburger overrated?
No!
No!
God, no! Sheed, come on, my guy. Me and Sheed argue about a lot, but I was hoping that this is a point that we'd be able to agree with. Fatburger is underrated, if anything.
I mean, Ice Cube, the Beastie Boys have all shouted it out. So there's your stamps of approval right there. They have a great vegan menu, strangely.
I did like the 1 pound burger challenge. I almost threw up, but I completed it.
Yeah.
Wait, why is 1 pound 1 pound? Oh, like, yeah, I guess that's a lot. That's 60 ounces of meat.
Believe me.
That is a lot. I can't even eat a full quarter pound.
I'll never do it again. But I completed it. My face is on the wall on the Hollywood Fat Burger, the most famous Fat Burger, because I finished it. And it was the proudest moment of my career.
I'm sorry.
Their vegan menu, they have the Impossible Burger. They have a Boca Burger. So they have two different types of vegan burgers. They have Impossible Chicken Nuggets. They have vegan milkshakes.
Wow.
Like, I really enjoy Fat Burger the times we've ordered it. The fries, though, I think are both the fat fries and skinny fries are okay. But I'll tell you this, Fat Burger, if I had a choice between Fat Burger and In-N-Out, Fat Burger's not going to have the long line, and you're probably going to be just as satisfied.
In-N-Out all day, every day.
Yeah, I love In-N-Out. That's crazy to hear you say that, being an East Coaster, Issa, but, you know.
Oh, no, I will pick Shake Shack over In-N-Out, but we're talking Fat Burger and In-N-Out. I'm picking. The problem is it depends on what mood you're in, right? If you're in the mood to where you're like, oh, I want to eat a burger, but I don't want to feel like I'm shitting on my diet, you go with Shake Shack. Shake Shack tastes like the weirdest, healthier version of all of these burger, you know, places that we talk about.
Where In-N-Out.
It's not healthy, but it feels like it's the healthier made. It's like the smaller burger. When I'm talking like In-N-Out, that's just like, I'm going to break my diet today and I'm going to commit stomach suicide. I'm going to In-N-Out. So I put them both up. My least favorite out of all of them is Whataburger. And now I have my friends telling me that I have to give it another chance this weekend since I'll be in Texas, because they were like, maybe I've only had it once and I hated it. And my friends are like, maybe you they were like, maybe they just didn't make it right. So supposedly I got to give it another shot this weekend. We'll see.
I went to Austin, Texas and had Whataburger. It was the worst, not fast food. It was the worst food I've ever had in my life.
Thank you. I'm in the same position.
Well, my friends were like, no, you got to give it another chance. And I was looking forward to it. I was not going in there skeptically. I was like, I cannot wait to have Whataburger.
No, I like burgers. The problem is that I eat my burgers plain, just cheese and ketchup, right? Because we discussed my issues with how picky I am with food. So the burger itself has to be good because that's all I'm eating. And I just didn't like it. I would put, somebody just mentioned in the chat, I think Five Guys is a much better burger than Whataburger by a mile.
Yeah. Okay, I'll say in my personal estimation, it's In-N-Out number one, Shake Shack 2, Five Guys 3, in terms of that vibe of the off-brand fast food.
Right. Right. I will say Shake Shack, In-N-Out, and yeah, I don't know. Whataburger was a one-time thing. Maybe if I have time this weekend. I'm not excited to give it another chance, though.
Alfred,
you didn't just help my case either by reminding me how bad it is. Scenario.
My favorite part of Whataburger was, like, I think they had, like, a Chipotle ketchup, but only because it drowned out the flavor of the terrible food.
But let me just pause this. You know, I haven't eaten meat or animal products in ages. But let me remind everybody, the original sort of, you know, handcrafted, more old school style artisanal burger. Let me remind you all, Wendy's still exists, and Wendy's does some damn good food.
Not anymore.
I think Wendy's had the best fries until they recently changed it to the crispy fries. The pre-crispy era of Wendy's fries were the best fast food fries I've ever had.
I feel like, I don't know, because I've been trying to eat a lot healthier for a while now, but I feel like Wendy's, a couple of years back, a Baconator would really, like, really be the shit, right? Now, the Baconator is the shit in a whole different way. Like, it doesn't feel like they're making it with the same kind of, I don't know, something changed about Wendy's.
Yeah, I agree.
Interesting. Dave Thomas passes away and then everything goes to hell. Sheet Black, $4.99. Whataburger's like Sonic, but Sonic is good and better than Whataburger. Here's the biggest mistake that we make on a regular basis here. In fact, I was looking today because I was trying to figure out the dates I did the podcast last year. I missed the podcast for this reason. We were like, Sonic delivers and the onion rings and the tater tots are vegan. Let's just get onion rings and tater tots from Sonic. And we ate those and I felt so ill I couldn't do the podcast.
I don't think I've ever had food at Sonic. I've been to Sonic maybe a couple of times in my life. Like, we always go on the way to Vegas, but I only get the drinks and stuff like that. The shakes that they have.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, we're back on the healthy eating, so it's just
me too. It's a new year, new me. I'm on that too.
Yeah. I know this. I've been on it for a couple of months now, and this is why I'm trying to use that as an excuse for this whole Whataburger. But my friends are really, really, they are so disappointed that I hated it. They're like, well, you only had it once, and I'm like, that's all it takes. Like, yeah. How many times am I supposed to eat a burger to decide if I hate it or not?
I've been on a big kick with chard and collard greens lately. And like, just, I want those like heavy greens.
Collard greens are the greatest.
Well, they're great because you only have to stir fry them for like a minute and then it's like, boom, ready to go. Very nice. Very nice. And it's actually, we're getting off the podcast after 8 o'clock. I'm not eating after 8 o'clock. So it's like, I'm done.
For are you doing intermittent fasting?
No, I'm just trying. I've noticed that the times when I lose weight and keep it off, it's when I don't eat after 8.
Oh.
I mean, there's probably that effect.
Right, yeah. If you don't eat late, unless you don't sleep and you're working out late at night, it is suggested that you don't eat late at night because it kind of just sits there. With my stomach, like, illness that I have, it's like my stomach process things slower. One of the things they suggest is that I don't eat after a certain time. I feel like a gremlin sometimes, but it helps.
Yeah. And when I've been having a snack, the last thing I'll just do like popcorn. And I started doing this because I don't like getting my hands greasy. I've been eating popcorn with chopsticks for a few years now.
What?
Yeah.
Well, no, seriously. But
here's the thing: if you want to enjoy popcorn and not just like scarf it down, you know, like just bury your face in there, like it's a great, like, you will eat popcorn so slow that you will really enjoy it. It will last forever, and you won't want any more by the time you get done.
Wow, that's good. It's just like popcorn is like the most anti-chopstick food because we all see the memes of people like eating popcorn. It's not just like,
yeah, it's been nice. Sheet Black Buck 99, Alfred, no smoked turkey legs for you.
Oh, absolutely. Always. I know Issa doesn't like smoked turkey legs, but when you're in Eaglewood, I could take you to Kenny Q's barbecue, the best barbecue in California, no less in the world. And they've got the greatest smoked turkey legs. I love me some smoked turkey legs, whether it's Disneyland or anywhere.
Interesting.
I'll hold you to that after you have to buy all of my drinks because Cody's not winning the Rumble.
That's not what the bet was. The bet, I believe, was if Roman, it was some crazy
The Rock, thing. If the, yeah, Rock, the eliminates Cody. Yeah.
I'm trying to change my bet.
Listen, I just want to get free drinks. Leave me alone.
But is the Rock in ring shape?
He had how long to get a ring shape? I just think.
Listen, it's a whole different beast, okay? Just let him make his excuses, and that's what it is. The Rock fears the tribal chief.
Ripball Sing Sing, thanks, I'm taking chopsticks to the cinema now. You know where I got the idea from? I've known women that have elaborate fingernails they have done, and they don't want to ruin their nails or get their nails greasy. And so they'll eat, like, Cheetos or any snacks with chopsticks.
Yeah, it's the same way. Do you know that I have a... It's weird, but I carry tweezers for the ATM machines because I can't even get the car in and out because of my nails. There's a lot, and then you don't want to eat certain things because they get under your nails. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's a good way to live. So that's the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Look at us making it almost to exactly an hour. Follow Issa online at NYC Demon Diva. That's Diva with a 1. She's on Twitter. Follow Alfred at This Is Nasty. I'm at Glenn Rubenstein. And hey, if you like this podcast, comment, like, share, subscribe. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Tomorrow night, AEW. It'll be a big, big show, big, big tribute tomorrow night. And we'll be back, of course, on Friday. What is Sami Zayn? Is Sami Zayn going to show up Friday? Stay tuned.
He better not. He got told not to.
Well, we'll see.
I love they did that, by the way. It's a great way to build up the Royal Rumble because I am dying to see what this final test is at the Royal Rumble.
There you go. We'll see you Friday. We'll see you Friday on the Wrestling Inc. podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 Dream Beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.